Today, the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Darm, Daf Ayin Gimel. We're going to start three lines from the top with the words Boy Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama is going to ask another question today, and we'll get to that in a moment. We're learning today Leili Nishmas Bela Orblowski, Bela Bat Shneir Zalman, and we're also learning Leili Nishmas Rabbi Israel Turner, Rabbi Yisrael Ben Harav Zev. All the shows we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. So in yesterday's shir, we had a discussion that Rami Bar Chama asked the question, can the father or the husband of the Nar Murasa do a hafara on her neder if he didn't hear the neder? Do we say that he doesn't actually have to hear the neder, but he can just give a blanket hafara? Or do you say, no, it has to be v'yom shomo. He has to actually hear the neder, and if he doesn't hear the neder, he can't prophylactically or in advance or without hearing it be made for the neder. We never got an answer to that, but we'll try again in a related area with the following shalom from Rami Bar Chama today. So we begin three lines from the top, Ayin Gimel and Aleph, with the words, Boy Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama asks the following shalom based medrash. Cheirish, a person who is incapable of hearing. Now, we always have a discussion, what does cheirish mean? Does it mean a person who can't hear and also can't speak? That's the way that we normally use that term in rabbinical literature. However, in the Torah, a cheirish is somebody that just can't hear. And the Ran expresses this, indeed, Ramas Boy Rami Bachamer, he says, Cheirish Hamedaber the Eino Shomea. We're dealing here with a Cheirish that can speak, but he cannot hear. And the Rosh, indeed, Ramas Cheirish Maush Yofer Leishto, adds on the Cheirish Dekra Koi. We're dealing over here with a Cheirish as defined in the Torah. The Dekra means the Psukim, and that is a Cheirish Hamedaber the Eino Shomea. He can speak, he just can't hear. He's deaf. Dechsev, as the pasuk tells us, "Ani kecheresh lo eshma uchi ilaim lo yiftach piv." So this is based upon the Gemara in Gittin, which darshens these psukim, and therefore it says that a cheresh is somebody that just can't hear, but he can speak, and ilaim is somebody that can't speak. However, the Rosh points out, "Avol cheresh derabbanan." In rabbinical usage, the remiza lo motzi mifkar neder diaraisa v'od shedino kishote. That when we're dealing with a derabbanan cheresh, that's somebody that can't speak and can't hear, and by definition, he's a lava bardas, and the only way he would be able to go and be made for neder would be via remiza, via signaling of some sort, and that can't count. And halachically, he's considered like a shota, a lav bar das. And therefore, here we're not dealing with the classical derabbanan cheresh that can't speak and can't hear, but we're dealing here with just somebody who is deaf. He can't hear. So, Rabbi Bar Chama asks, a cheresh, this person who can't hear, so he wasn't able to hear his wife's nether, but he's a bar das, he can speak and be made for the nether, so can he or can he not made for the nether? Is he allowed to be made for the vows that his wife makes, the nedarim that his wife makes? Do we say, Imtim Silomar Baal Mefer Belo Shmia? This is the question we had from yesterday. Can a Baal be made for his wife's nedarim if he didn't hear the neder? So then, Mishum, the reason why a husband can go and be made for his wife's nedarim is because Debar Mishmahu, because he can hear, he just happened not to have heard this neder, but since he can hear, therefore he's allowed to go and be made for her nedarim. As opposed to Avul Cheresh, the Lav Bar Mishmo, a Cheresh that we're talking about here, is a deaf person. He, by definition, cannot hear, and therefore, he would not be able to go and be made for Nidarim. And this is based upon what Rabbi Zeira said. I know the Rabbi Zeira. What did Rabbi Zeira say? There's a famous Gemara in Menachos where it tells us, the Amar Rabbi Zeira over there, Kol HaRoi LeBila, Ein Bila Ma'akevis Bo. Kol She'ein Roi LeBila, Bila Ma'akevis Bo. It's a very famous Gemara. We have this many, many times in Shas, and it basically tells us that they used to have, and you can see this in the Likutei Rashi over here, they used to have people that would donate a mincha offering, a flower offering. So you can look at the Likutei Rashi on our daf, call a royal abila. It brings down from the Gemara Menachos on daf Kuv Gimel Omud Beis, Tiktani, it says over there, Ha'omer, if a person obligates himself to bring a mincha, Hare Alai Samach Aleph Esronim, and he wants to bring a certain number of measures of flour, and he's serving a certain measure of flour, Samach Aleph, 61. So he says, I'm going to bring 61 Esronim of flour. So he has to bring it in two containers, maybe Samach B'Kli Echad. He can bring up to 60 in one utensil, and the Echad B'Kli Acher, and then he can bring the remaining Esronim in another Kli. Why? On Mefarish time, the Gemara explains over there, Mishum the Kim Luhu L'Rabban, because the rabbis understood and knew, the Shishim, if you can put 60 Esronim in one Kli and mix it with the oil, it will be able to be mixed well. Nivlolos Bichli Echad. You can still go and mix it in one Kli, up to 60 Esronim. However, when you have more than 60, 61, Abu Samach Aleph, Einon Nivlolos Yofit, it won't be able to be mixed well. And the Gemara says, big deal, so what if it's not mixed well? Mosvinan, they asked the question over there in the Gemara, V'chi ein nivlolin, my, Havi, what's the big deal? After all, but none, we learned there earlier in the Masechta, And Daf Yud Ches, where it said, in law, bala kosher. If you don't do the mixing, nevertheless, b'di'evit, it's still kosher. Yeah, you're supposed to mix it, but if you didn't mix it, it's kosher. So what difference does it make if you have 61 in one kli, or you say that you'd only put up to 60 in one kli because it won't mix well? Bottom line is, it's kosher no matter what. So, Umeshani Rebbe Zera, our Rebbe Zera says this famous rule, Haroya Labila, if you physically could do Bila, mixing, Bila's mixing, so then, ain Bila Makebismo. If you didn't mix it, then it doesn't ruin it. But in that situation, Dafilu Lo Bala, kosher. If you didn't mix it at all, it's still going to be kosher. But Visha Ain Roy Labila, if you physically aren't able to mix it, there's too much flour there and it won't mix with the oil. If you have 61 parts of flour there, it won't mix well with the oil, no matter what you do. So then in that situation, somewhat paradoxically, Bila Makevis, not doing the mixing, is Ma'akev, and it's not good. The Roy Labila Bo'inan, it must be capable of mixing, and then if it was capable of being mixed, if you didn't mix it, it's kosher still. The Efshar Liskayim B'mitzvah Mincha, because in that situation, you can do the mitzvah of Bila. So this brought down the Gemara in Yevamos as well, and therefore the famous statement of Rezera, call a royal Bila, if you are able physically to do the Bila, then not doing it, ain't Bila Makevis, won't ruin it for you. But if you couldn't physically mix it, because you ain't royal Bila, there's too much flour there, and you won't be able to mix it. In that situation, the Bila is Makevis Bo'in. If you don't mix it, and you can't mix it, so then it's going to make the Mincha no good. So to over here, if a person can hear, he's not a Cheresh, and then even though he doesn't hear, it doesn't ruin it. He can be made for the nether. But if you can't hear, so then the Bila Makevis, then it's no good. So that's maybe one side of the coin to Rami Barchama's question. Since the deaf person cannot hear, maybe his not hearing it is going to be obviously impossible for him to hear it, and therefore he can't be made for it. But a regular person who could hear physically, albeit he didn't hear it, that hafara is good. Or do we say no? Oh, Dilma, maybe not. The other side of the coin, the pasuk says, v'shama isha, with a mapike, that the husband has to hear the vow, but it's not ma'akev. V'shama isha, yeah, that's the normal happenstance. However, lo ma'akev, it's not ma'akev. And therefore, even if the husband didn't hear the vow, so whether he's a cheresh or not is irrelevant. So the question of Rabbi Muhammad is asking over here is, do we or do we not say that this is particular to a cheresh? And in fact, a cheresh who can't hear is incapable of being made for a neder. Or, no, the normal thing is that the husband hears it. But even if you don't hear it, you can be made for the neder. So to that, on my Rava, Rava answers, Tashma. No, we learn from the following Brisa, the Pasuk says, no, Vishama Isha, again with the Mapike, as the Ran points out. So you have to actually hear it. Prat Le'eshes Chayrish. This excludes a woman who's married to a deaf man, because the deaf man can never hear her vow. So the Pasuk, Vishama Isha, specifically excludes him, Shma Mina. So that's a good Raya. But all we've done to answer Rami Bar Chama's question is to say that a Chayrish cannot go and be made for his wife's nedarim. We still leave unanswered the question, what about a person who can hear, but did not hear his wife's nether? Can he make the hafara, even though he didn't hear the nether? And the Ran discusses that, and the Ran brings down the opinion of the Ramban, that says that this is only talking about a cheresh. We can only darshan over here that the cheresh is not a bar shmiya, and therefore he can't go and be made for nether. But we can't bring a raya one way or the other to whether a person who is a bar shmiya, a regular hearing person, albeit he didn't hear his wife's nether, could he or could he not go and be made for the nether. So this is the boy, the loaf shitalei. And the Ram discusses further what are the halacha lemaisa ramifications of this. He says this is the opinion as well of the Ramban and the Rambam. Mark continues and answers the next question. Ibar Lulei asks the base manager the following shailah. What about a baal, a husband, mahu shiofer lishtei noshav bevas achas? Can a husband go? He has two wives. In those days, again, a person was allowed to have more than wife. Never recommended, but allowed. So the husband hears both of his wives make a neder. And with one fell swoop, he wants to be made for both nedarim. So wife A makes a neder, wife B makes a neder, and the husband says, the nedarim are mufar. One fell swoop. Does that work or does not work? As the Ran says in Nibamaskali Boilhu, She'im Nodru Shteim, they both made the nether, Yom Lehem Mufa Lechon. And he says, both of you, the nether is Mufa. Does that work or not? Now, what's the Havamina to think it doesn't work? Because the Pasuk says, Yosa, the Im Biyom Shma Isha, Yoni Osa, Veferis Nidra Asher Oleha. So he has to go and be made for her, singular, neder, and not both of them. So do we say osa means dafka, only one wife, and not both at the same time with one fell swoop, or lav dafka. It's not really dafka. It said that's the normal scenario that the husband is made for his wife's nedar. But guess what? If Rachel and Leah, his two wives, each made an neder, so he could be made for them with one fell swoop. That's the question that they asked Iboilhu in the Beis Medrash. So Ravina wants to give us an answer. Amar Ravina, he says, Toshma, for the following Braisa, we can give an answer. The Braisa is dealing with a sota. Now, a sota is a woman who will learn the Mitzvah Shem, an upcoming Masechta, Masechta Sota, right after Nazir. So in sota, we all know the rule that if a woman, Rachmon Litzlan, did kinui and stira, she was told by her husband, don't closet yourself away with so-and-so, that's kinui, and then she closeted herself away with so-and-so for a period of time in private that they could have, Rachmon Litzlan, committed an aveira. So then she has to either drink the mei sota, or if she refuses to drink the mei sota, she's divorced without getting a ksuba. So in this situation, if you have one woman, so she is required to go and drink the mei sota, they erase the shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they put it in the water, and then she drinks it. But what happens if there are two sotas? So he said, listen, instead of erasing Hashem's name twice, let's just go erase it once, and we'll give woman A to drink, and we'll give woman B to drink. So, Toshma, we learn the following braisa, Ein mashkim shtei sotos kiachas. We do not do this. We don't give the water of the mei sota to two women. We erase it only specifically for one woman. We don't do it for two women. In other words, each woman has to have her own mei sota. You can't say, oh, we already made the mei sota, let's use it for both Rachel and for Leah, two unrelated women that are accused of being, Rachmana Litzlan, a sota. Why? Why not? So the braisa says, because mipnei sheliba gas b'chaverta. Because if she sees her friend, let's say one of the women is really innocent and one of the women is not innocent, so the woman who's not innocent sees her friend saying, I absolutely am innocent, I'm going to drink this water, I didn't do anything wrong, this is all a mistake, and she sees how strong her friend is in saying, I'm drinking the water, so it's going to give her courage, incorrect courage, and she's also going to want to go and drink the water, but that's going to, Rachmon al-San, kill her, and that's inappropriate, and therefore it'd be much better off for her not to I've seen her strength of her friend who's saying, no, I'm drinking the mesota. It'd be much better for her to be by herself and not be influenced by the friend who's really innocent because she, in fact, is guilty. And that's what the Ran tells us in the Libra Maskel, Mimesh Libo, Gos Bechaverta. Shepa'amim, what's going to happen sometimes, Shechaverta Torah. The first woman is really innocent. V'itmeya, but the second woman is really tmeya. Nebuch, she committed adultery. U'kishetira chaverta omeris tahorani. And when she sees the innocent woman proclaiming her innocence and saying, I'm going to drink the water because I'm innocent. So togiz daita, she's also going to be strengthened and saying, yeah, well, just like she's innocent, I'm also going to drink the water and it's probably not going to affect me. Below tirtz lahodo, she's going to be embarrassed or unwilling to go and admit, well, you know, look, she's drinking the water. How come I'm not drinking the water? So she's going to be tempted to drink the water when she shouldn't. V'imoch hashem nichtav b'kedusha. And they're going to end up erasing the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's written in holiness. And therefore, we don't let two women drink the mesota at the same time. That's what the Braisa says. Along comes Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo men hashem uzeh. That's not the reason. That's not why we give, we don't allow two sotas to drink at the same time. Ella, the reason is, mishum shenema, because the pasuk says, vihishka. The pasuk says, vihishka es hamayim, singular. You shall give her to drink the water. Singular. One woman, osa levada, only her by herself. In other words, don't do two sotas at the same time. So Ravina is telling us, just like by a sota, we don't allow two sotas to drink at the same time because it says, Vihishka, you shall give her to drink, singular, so too. When it says, Osa, in regards to the Nedarim, that the husband can revoke his wife's Neder, so it means Osa, one at a time. So that's what Ravina wants to bring us a comparison between the Din by Sota and the Din by a Neder. Okay, we turn to Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we start the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us a bogeres, a woman who is a bogeres, that's a girl who is now older than 12 years and 6 months. She's a ketana until 12 years, she calls bas mitzvah, she's a nara from 12 years and until 6 months, 12 years and 6 months, and then she becomes a bogeres when she hits 12 years and 6 months old. And as we already pointed out previously, and you can see in the Ran over here, we had discussed this Mishnah previously, and there needs to be a vav added over here, bogeres, ve sheshoaso shtemoso chodesh. As the top Ran tells us, ha turitzna la le'el in the Gemara andaf ayin, that it should be read, bogeres, ve sheshoaso yudbeis chodesh. So we're dealing here with two women, a bogeres, a girl who's above the age of 12 years and 6 months old, who is now getting married, or a woman who was a nara, and she became an arusa, but she now didn't get married, and now it's 12 months since she became an arusa, so her husband is obligated to go and now bring her in. If he doesn't, he's mechuyev to go and support her. So that's what we're dealing over here with, a bogeres who's waiting to be married. She only needed 30 days, or sometimes it can be a little bit more, in order to go get married. And this nara, who had waited 12 months, in each case, the husband has not gone and married her. He's supposed to. She's an arusa. A bogeres is an arusa. A nara is an arusa. And now the period of time to wait for the husband to go marry her, they're all prepared now for the marriage, has occurred, and the husband still hasn't married her. So this same thing would apply to the almana shloshim yom, or almana. She only needs 30 days to be prepared because she's already been married. She has all the accoutrements needed for a married life. And therefore, all of these women, the bogeres, the shoshah sashtemos hachodesh, and the almana shloshim yom, all of these women who are waiting to be married and their husband is not marrying them, so Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hoel Ubalo Chayav Bimizonosea, since his husband is now obligated, the rabbis constant him and said, you have to go and support this woman. You haven't fulfilled your obligations to go from making her go from an arusa to an asua, so therefore we're going to conceal you, and you have to support her. Even though you're not married fully, you still have to support her as if you were fully married. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer says, just like he, the husband, since the husband is obligated to go and support her, so too, Yofer, he has the rights to go and be made for her nedarim. And as the Ran points out, in Dibra Maschul Yofer, Luvado, below Shut to say the Ad. She is now, even though she's still an Arusa, but she's, so to say, out of the domain of her father, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, the husband has to support her, so it's as if the husband has taken her into his house, and therefore she's out of the domain of the father, and she's fully and solely in the domain of her husband, even though she's not a Nesua. And Rabbi Eliezer therefore says, just like he has to support her, so too he has to go, and he does have the ability to go and be made for her nedarim. In the previous Ran, he points out, in Dibra Maschul Hoel, he says, the nos and lebesul yud beis chodesh, we normally give her 12 months to prepare for the wedding, for the full nisuin. Then, after that period of time, if the husband doesn't take her in, we cancel him, and we make him go and pay. He gives man, velo nisol, ochlos bishalo. She has to go and support his wife, even though she's not a nisua. Okay, that's the Mishnah, and the Chachamim disagreed. The Chachamim Omrim ain't about Mefer, actually konis l'bishuso. Even though the husband may have to support his wife, they're not arguing with that, but he can't be Mefer in the Darim until he fully brings her into his Rishus. As the Ran points out, Adiba Masal Chachamim Omrim, Hainu Rabbi Yeshua. This Chachamim is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Du bar Pukta, the Rabbi Eliezer, b'chol dochta. He is the regular Baal Plukta of Rabbi Eliezer. We have to route Shas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Eliezer Hagodol, Rabbi Eliezer Hercules, and Rabbi Yeshua b'Chananya. They're Baali Plukta throughout Shas, so the Chachamim over here are Rabbi Yeshua as well, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Okay, that's a machlokus that we had alluded to previously. This Mishnah is a chazara for us. We had it a few days ago, and now we start the Gemara. Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabba tells us that Rabbi Eliezer, U Mishnah Rishona, Amru Davar Echad, that this opinion that we just brought down in Rabbi Eliezer is in agreement with the opinion of the Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona, we mentioned many times, is the first version that Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, had put together, which subsequently there may have been changes, but Mishnah Lo Zaza Mimakoma, the text that Rebbe had put together, even though we subsequently made changes in it, he leaves the original text, and this is part of Rebbe wrote down the Mishnah, even though it's Torah Shebaal Peh, it shouldn't have been written down, so this is part of the Eis Lasos Lashem, Eferus Orsecha, that Rebbe felt that it was a time that people would forget the Mishnah, so they had to write them down, but they would often leave the Mishnah Rishona the way it was, even though they subsequently changed it, and this would help them remind of the idea that the Torah Shebaal Peh really shouldn't have been written down. In any event, Rabbi Eliezer's statement in our Mishnah, as well as the other Mishnah Mishonah, which we're going to learn in a moment, they're saying the same thing. Amru Davar Echad. And the Ran adds over here, the Ran says, Rabbi Eliezer, Hod the Amorin. He adds over here to the Gemara, which is Rabbi Eliezer, Hod the Amorin. That's the Rabbi Eliezer that we just said in our Mishnah. The Amor Masisin, Bala Mefer de Derel, below Shut to say the Av. That the husband is the only one now, once the period of time has gone by, and she's prepared, the Murasa is prepared to go into the marriage, but the husband is the one that's recalcitrant, he's the one that's not bringing her into the marriage, so it's beyond the time of the Erisin, it should be the time of the Chuppah, so he's obligated to support her, so he can also be made for Nadar. So this is the Rabbi Eliezer, Hodi Amar. This is where Rabbi Eliezer says this. And now the Gemara continues, and where do we see the Mishnah Rishona? It's not. That's a Mishnah from Ksubas, right? We didn't have this that long ago. And it says over there, Nosel Besula Shtemus Achodesh. That's this din that we give the Besula a 12-month period of time to prepare for the wedding. After she's in Arusa, we give her 12 months to become ready for the Nisuin. Lefai Nisatzma, to go and provide for herself all the things that she needs to do. the Mefarshim brought down previously. This includes bringing all of her tachshitim together, getting all of her the things that the woman needs in order to be a married woman. So we give her 12 months to do this. When the 12 months are up, so now the husband has to take her in. If the husband is the cause for her not getting married, if she's the cause, then it doesn't apply. But if she says, I'm ready now to get the full nisuin, and the husband says, no, I'm not ready yet, so then, ocheles mishlo, he has to support her. He has to go and give her her food supplies. Likewise, Vochelis Bitruma, she is allowed to now eat truma. Now, min hadin, as soon as she's in Arusa, she technically, midaraisa, is allowed to eat truma. The rabbi said, since she's not living yet with her husband, you know what's going to happen? The husband is going to give her food, she's going to take it home, and her brothers and sisters, who are Yisraelim, are going to, hey, can I have some of that truma? And they're not going to realize they can't have truma. So she has a cookie, and it's truma cookie. So she's allowed to eat it because she's married, first stage of marriage to a Kohen, so she can eat it. However, she can't give it to a brother and sister. So therefore, since she may be still living at home, and she'll take some food home, so the rabbi said, don't eat truma until you're actually living with your husband. Then, once you're in your husband's house, so then your siblings, the Yisraelim, will not be eating truma because you're in your husband's house, and he's a Kohen. He's used to how to make sure that non-Kohanim don't eat truma, so therefore it won't be a problem. But here in this situation, since he's obligated to support her, he's going to put her in a separate house, and she's going to have separate accommodations because he doesn't want to give her food that she's going to give out to her family because he now has to support her. So therefore, there's no concern beyond this 12-month period of time that she's going to give the truma to her siblings because she's getting food in a separate house, even though she's not yet living with him because she's not in the suah. So that's the opinion here that says, ocheles mishlo, the husband has to support her, and she's even allowed to eat truma at this point in time. However, let's say this husband died, and he has a brother. So obviously they died childless because they never consummated the marriage. So Avol HaYavam, her dead husband's brother, who she falls in Yivam to, Eino Machil B'Truma. He can't go and give her Truma because she's not Kinyan Kaspo. She's not yet his wife. Now, what happens if for 6 months she lived under her original husband, and then he died, and then for the next 6 months, she's now waiting to undergo Yibam. So a total of 12 months have gone by. Also, so she shechadash b'nei Abal, she shechadash b'nei Yavam. So she spent 6 months in front of her husband, waiting to be married, and Nebuchadnezzar died, and then she's now spent 6 months waiting to undergo Yibam, and that hasn't occurred yet, but it's a total of 12 months have gone by. Or any other variation on this. Even if it was all in front of the Baal, she was 11 months and 29 days, in front of her husband, and then he passed away. So it's only one day in front of the Yavam. Or Okula b'nei Yavam, or the husband passed away on day one, and it's been 11 months and 29 days in front of the Yavam. Chasu Yom Echad. In either situation, in any situation, even, the Mefarshim point out, it was all in front of the Baal, and then he died without taking her in, and she falls into Yibam. In all of these situations, Eina Ocheles B'Truma, when she's under the Yavam's domain, so then she's not allowed to eat Truma. And this was, in fact, Zu Mishnah Rishona. Oh, this is exactly like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, in that the first part of this Mishnah Rishona said, Ocheles Mishlo, and that implies that if she's Ocheles Mishlo, that he could be made for her Nedarim by himself. So we want to suggest that Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishona are saying the same thing. Why is this called Mishnah Rishona? Because based in Shalach Reim Amru, because subsequent Beisdins disagreed with this Mishnah Rishona and said, no, Eino Yisho Cheles B'Truma, the woman is not allowed to eat Truma Ad Shiti Kones L'Chupa, until she actually goes and gets married to the husband, a full-fledged Nisuin. But just because he's supporting her, so he may have to support her, but she's still not allowed to eat Truma. And that's what the subsequent Beisdin said, and that's why this is called the Mishnah Rishona, and then Beisdin Shalach Reim is the real Halacha that is practiced. Bottom line is, it looks like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah and this Mishnah Rishona seem to be saying the same thing, that the husband who is now obligated to support his wife, so Rabbi Eliezer says he also can be made for a Nedarim, and the Mishnah Rishona says he also can go and feed her Truma. So it looks like Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishona are saying the same thing. Mora says, no, however, that's not necessarily true. Amar Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbah, Rabbah was the one that suggested this, not necessarily so. Rabbi had said, Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnah Rishona, Amru Dover Echad, and Rabbi tells him, not necessarily so. Why is that? You could argue both ways. Ad kan lo ko ashminon Mishnah Rishona. You might say that the Mishnah Rishona is only talking about giving her Truma. Why? Because it's talking about Truma Derabbanan. El Lamecha, but Truma Derabbanan. It wasn't allowing her to have Truma Deraisa. She was only allowed to eat the apples. Apples is only taking off Truma Midirabbanan. So on a din of Truma Derabbanan, so the rabbi said, yeah, we'll let you. Once you were obligated to go and support her, so we'll let you even give her Truma Midirabbanan. But we're not going to give you Truma Deraisa. And therefore, Nadar Aval Nedarim, which is also a din daraisa, emelo. Just like you can't have truma daraisa, you can't be made for her nedarim, which are a din daraisa, by yourself. You can only be made for them in shutvas with the father. And therefore, who says that the Mishnah Rishona holds like Rabbi Eliezer? And vice versa as well. V'yadkan lo shamis leila Rabbi Eliezer. One could argue that Rabbi Eliezer only it said el legabi nedarim, that because the husband is obligated to support her, he's also obligated or is able to go and be made for her nedarim. Because that goes in accord with what Kidderav Pinchas Mishmei the Rabbah said. What did Rav Pinchas say in the name of Rabbah? Rav Pinchas said in the name of Rabbah the following. The Amar, he said, Kol hano deres, when a woman makes a neder, it's always with the understanding, al das bala hi no deres. She's only doing this with the assumption that her husband will approve. And if her husband doesn't approve, the neder essentially falls apart. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer said, since he's now obligated to support her, essentially the wife is saying that any of the darim that I make, I'm now only making them with the assumption that my husband agrees to them. And that's why in this situation, the husband can be made for them on his own. But who says he says the same thing by Truma? Aval Truma, even if it's not feeling with the Rabbanon, even Truma the Rabbanon, Nami lo achla. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree that she can't eat Truma, because even if it's the Rabbanon, that's not like the Nedarim. The Nedarim was because a woman makes a neder only al das bala. But the eating of Truma, whether it's the rice or even Midu Rabbanan, that he wouldn't agree with the Mishnah Rishona. So therefore, Abaye says to Rabbah, lav dafka, not necessarily so. You can't say that Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishona are both saying the same din. This is a great break point. We'll start with a new Mishnah tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.